I have the incredible privilege of being part of a church that I just hate being away from, you know? Love going on vacation, but I, when I'm away, I'm just like, Brooke and I both, we're like, we just want to go home so we can be, if I could shoot down just for the weekends to be here, that would be awesome. But then so much happens during the week in community. It's just a place to miss. So it is so, so good just to be back here and so much fun to be with you guys again. You know, when I do go away, the one thing that does definitely happen outside of just resting and having some good time with the family is I get some time to actually sit and reflect and to think. And I've just been reflecting and thinking about the past 8 years and the next 8 years. And whenever I tend to start doing that, things really get ugly for this place, okay? Because I start getting all these crazy ideas and I start going, God wants us to do so much and look what we've already done, look what we could do. And then I get back here and as unstable as everything already is, I love to shake things up even more and go, let's do some more. So that's always usually bad. And I just want you guys to know, at least this time, as I went away, since I went on vacation and then to Ethiopia, that it's actually much worse than usual, okay? So buckle your seatbelts because it's really going to have be a fun ride over the next few months and years. I'll tell you, that idea is born out of this. I am more convinced than ever before that we together, as God writes his story through us, are going to change the world. I'm not just talking about like hypothetically. We are going to change the world together. I am absolutely convinced of that. I've been convinced of that, but more than ever, it's true now. And part of the reason for that is, again, because I had some time to reflect and think about the last 8 years and then where we're going now. But more than that, this true conviction is born out of the last week of our time away when we traveled to Ethiopia. Brooke and I, and what God did there. So what I'd love to do this morning is just journey you through briefly the story over the last 2.5 years of our journey with this whole adoption process, just so that you can see and you can grasp with me why it is that I am so convinced that we together are going to change the world. So 2.5 years ago, almost to date, last week, Brooke and I traveled to a little city called Aksum in Ethiopia. And we went there with some of the elders from the church here just to go and explore whether this is a place we want to get involved in as a church. While we were there, Brooke and I visited an orphanage, which again, Brooke and I have visited orphanages around the world in third world arenas. So this was not our first emotional orphanage third world experience. If you ever do that, your first experience is always like, I want to adopt them all. Because it's a pretty extraordinary thing to see when you're outside of the extraordinary lives we live here in America. But this was not our first, so we went in as we usually do, and there were about 70 children there, and we spent some time with them, and there's this one little girl in a green dress that just kept jumping out at me. It was almost like I had to concentrate not to make her all that mattered in the room. Didn't get to meet her or see her or speak to her, but she just sort of, you know how that is sometimes where there's an image of this person and just all over the place. So I'm watching this unfold, and as we leave this orphanage, Brooke leaves, and we're sitting over lunch, and Brooke goes, there was this one little girl that kept jumping out at me. And I'm like, which one? She goes, the girl in the green dress. And I'm like, no way. That's exactly the girl that jumped out at me. And so as we started talking, we realized that God was really doing something bigger than we imagined. So we started praying and thinking about this. And within a week, it became abundantly clear that we were supposed to rescue this little girl and adopt her. Now, Brooke and I have always been open to adoption, always been interested in it, but we keep having children, which is a problem to that, right? And so when we had our fourth child, we were like, man, you know, someday, maybe, but it just kind of keeps coming. And so this time, though we were open to it, we didn't travel to Ethiopia with adoption on our minds at all. But God just clearly went, she is supposed to be your kid. So we came back and we started the process. In the process, we found out through some misinformation and then some information that she had three siblings in the same orphanage, three, two brothers and a sister. So I go back in November of that year and I travel back. And as I'm leaving, we're going on a trip to start getting involved in the city. Brooke says to me, if God lays on your heart that we are supposed to adopt more than just the one and adopt another one, I'm open to that. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal to you, but my wife, those of you that know her, she's about structure and organization and everything in its place, and four children fight that every day. So for her to say five, and then for her to say, I'm open to six, is an insanity. Do you understand? And so I'm like, whoa, she wouldn't have even said that if God wasn't up to something. So of course, you know me, I'm a visionary. So I go assuming, I'm like, I'm sure there's going to be another one involved. And so I'm thinking maybe one of the little boys. And I get there, and the third day that I was there in November, back and forth seeing the kids, I just kind of said goodbye to the kids, and I gave a hug to the little girl that's older than our little girl, the sister. And as I'm hugging her, almost verbally, the Spirit of God says, "This is your daughter." Just like that. I'm gonna remember it. It was like, "This is your daughter." So now I know we've got two daughters, right? The two sisters. So I call Brooke, and I'm like, "Honey, you were right." She goes, "About what?" I'm like, "We're adopting more than one." And I don't think she assumed right was the right word. But I'm like, I know that the other girl's supposed to be ours. So we come back. We're committed to all the siblings. So we search for a family that would be willing to take the boys so that we could have them together. Even though, of course, we can't take all four. That would be crazy. And so we find a family. They start praying. They were already on the journey of adopting boys. They wanted to do that. And so it just seemed like God was unfolding everything perfectly. And so over the last year, we've journeyed together with that. Then about 4 months ago, something incredible happened. We got word that if we present this case to the Ethiopian government and to the U.S. embassy as a split sibling group, that's the two boys and the two girls, two separate families, there's a very good chance they will deny the whole case and we'll lose all the kids. So for both us and the other family, that was just not an option. So we start praying, "Okay, God, what on earth are you doing?" And of course, our prayer is change the government, right? Because clearly you're not calling us to the other thing, the other option, right? So we start praying, and something incredible began to happen in me and in Brooke as we started praying this through. See, for me, both the first two moments, the little girl the first time and then her sister, it was as though God stepped in and said, "This is your daughter." It wasn't a question. It wasn't an option. It was just a statement. "Here, she's yours. Take her." But this time, in God's incredible sovereignty, knowing the journey that I needed to travel through, he did not say, "Ha, P.S., it's all four." He said, "Renaud, are you willing?" That's all he said. I remember just distinctly sensing the Spirit of God saying, "Are you willing? Are you willing to do all four?" We have four children of our own. They suck the life out of us. They take everything we have. And now he's giving us two more that I have nothing to give to. And he's asking me if I'm willing to take two more. And I think it was really genuinely like, "Are you seriously asking me that question?" But I know it wasn't really a question. You know how God works, right? It's not really a question. It's a journey. He's going, "We're going to journey together. Are you willing?" Now for Brooke, it was a little different. See, with her, God asked her as well. But I think Brooke's always been willing. Brooke's willing to do it. Brooke's just a pragmatist. So she goes, "I'm willing, but I can't." You see? How many of you guys live in that world? "Oh God, I'm willing to do whatever you want, but I can't." Now, if you gave me X, Y, and Z, well, then I would do it. But right now, you got to understand, I can't. And so Brooke was in the, I'm willing, but I can't. And I was in the, "Am I willing? I'm not sure." And so God journeyed us together. And I think it was Brooke that first stepped in our time praying together that said, I remember she looked at me and she said, "If we say we follow Jesus, and if we know we're called onto mission, and if we know that we have what God has given us, then what obstacle can we bring to him that would suffice to say no to this? What is it we could lay out that wouldn't just be about inconvenience or selfishness or something that we don't feel like we can do? Do we have anything that we can genuinely say, 'God, we would, but we can't because of this?'" And you know what? There was nothing we could find. Nothing. And so Brooke and I said, "Okay, God, we don't know how, and we don't know what this means, but we are both willing and we will both step in." And so we stepped in, contacted them and said, "Bring the siblings together. We will take them as a full group of siblings. Now, that sounds wonderful and romantic, doesn't it? You're like, oh, that's beautiful. But the romance of it is very different than the reality of it, right? And so as much as we were incredibly excited about this reality that God was calling us into, there was also a lot of questions, a lot of doubts, a lot of fears. I mean, God doesn't call us into easy things all the time. Sometimes they're incredibly impossible and difficult. And for us, there were two major questions that lingered. Question one, can we connect to these children at the level we need to connect with them, considering the journey we've been on? You see, as far as the boys are concerned, I've gone twice now. I've hung out with them, but I've always been saying this. We are going to adopt your sisters, and we're going to find a family for you. So what does it mean now to go back and say, P.S., that's not going to happen. We're your parents. You know, I was concerned about that. Brooke, listen to this. You ready? 2.5 years ago, she met the little girl for 5 minutes, didn't know her name, just literally hi, hug, didn't know we were adopting her, and she's never seen her since. She's never met the other three children. So we're going to Ethiopia for our court case this last week. We're going to see the kids. We don't know if we're going to connect well. We just have no idea. We just know God said you got to go. But the bigger question mark, the big fear, the big doubt was this. Every day in my home, we give everything we have to these four children we call our own, and they take more than we have. So if this is my love capacity, here's my house. That's gone, and my children go, more! So explain to me how I'm supposed to find the ability to take this capacity of love, divide it into the four that I have now, and then somehow divide that into eight. Now, each kid just gets a sliver, but they already demand all of it, right? I mean, you know, parents of one, you're like, they take it all. So imagine, right? Four, it's bad. So I travel there going, God, how are we going to love eight? How are we going to do that? Well, when we arrived in Ethiopia, we got there Sunday a week ago today. So literally last Sunday, we arrived in Ethiopia. Sunday night, we went to bed. Monday morning, we woke up. We got ourselves dressed and we got in the van with that incredible drive from the hotel over to the orphanage for Brooke to meet for the very first time her four children. And for me, for the very first time, to hug the boys as my own. And I could tell you what that was like, but I think it would be much more powerful if I just showed you. So take a look at this video. That's the orphanage. And this is Brooke walking in.
Salam, Simti. Salam, salam.
When they're thankful, they kiss your feet and they kiss your knees.
No, no, hug. Just a hug.
Nobody kisses my feet, please. Hugs on me.
The color, your crayon, the color.
They don't speak English, so it's interesting.
War rabbit.
the bird that goes. Yeah. So one, two, four.
Five.
I got that one. One, two, three, four.
Five.
Five.
Six.
Good. Good. Yep. Just six. Six.
Mm-hmm.
Eight. I'll beat you to the top of the coconut tree. There we go. Chicka, chicka, boom. Will there be?
Chicka, chicka, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm. Will there
be?
Enough room. Here comes H.
Coconut tree.
This was the very first time on a slide in a park. And there is a park before. So you'll see.
Hi, Fitzsimti.
She's very hesitant about this crazy experience.
Woo!
But they quickly got the hang of it, especially this one.
Good. Very nice.
They said they could dance like Michael Jackson. This is that. Right there.
Very good.
Wow. Nice. Port start.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Don't get hit in the head.
So, two incredible things happened while we were there. The first thing that you could see clearly in the video was that any fear we had about connecting with these children as our own was eradicated during these 3 days. You just saw part of it, but the 3 days there, it was just apparent from the second we got there that God had supernaturally created this incredible relationship that was going to unfold. But a bigger thing happened in me that really shaped the way I think even more than I did before. You see, as I arrived there and I realized that I had to pour more of myself into these children, it was almost as though the second the love that I needed to show up, the room, the capacity, the well of love that is within me seemed to expand. It was almost as though God said to me, Renaud, you have no idea the capacity you have to love. You have no idea the capacity you have to give, the capacity you have to be able to do what I call you to do. See, I don't think any of us in this room doubt that we're called onto mission if we know Jesus, right? I mean, if you've been part of Mosaic for any period of time, you don't doubt it because you've heard all of the scriptures, right? I mean, some of the ones most familiar to us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we have been made new. We are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Now he has called us as ministers of reconciliation to the world to reconcile man to God. We are his ambassadors, right? No brainer. We're called. Now, how about Colossians chapter 3? You guys know this one well, too. Clothe yourselves with compassion and goodness and kindness and love, above all else, love. And let the word of God dwell richly in you so that whatever you do or whatever you say, you do in the name of Jesus, right? How about 1 Peter chapter 2? You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people of God. And so now that you are aliens and strangers in this world. So live your lives in such a way that your good works are so extraordinary that the world looks at you and goes, who is this God you serve? And glorify him. I mean, none of us doubt that we're called. The question we have is, do we have the capacity to live out the calling, right? I mean, every one of you here have lived in my shoes. Wait, you're willing, but you recognize your limitations and the limitations, and you say, as soon as X, Y, and Z is true, then I will do whatever you want, but right now I just can't. And what God began to show me on this trip is that my limitations for love and my limitations for my ability to give is in my head. Because here's what I once again missed. That God said to us that when we come to Jesus Christ, he comes and the Spirit of God resides in us. Paul writes and says, I will use your weakness to show myself strong. We have in us God himself with all of his unlimited power at our disposal. In fact, if you doubt that, he literally says it in the book of Ephesians. I think Ephesians chapter 1 is probably one of the chapters in Scripture that most beautifully describes what we have received in Christ. Listen to this. It starts in verse 3 of chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Do you hear those words? They're big words that mean big things, right? Words like every spiritual blessing in Christ, right? I mean, he's saying there is no limit to which I have already given you. Any limitations that you think you have on this planet, any provision you think I haven't brought, anything you think I haven't unfolded, any dream you think I haven't given you, you're missing the point. Everything you will ever need has already been given. Now, Paul writes it this way in that same passage, after unpacking what it means to have every spiritual blessing in Christ, that we've adopted as children, chosen of God, brought into his family, rescued from the dominion of darkness, called into the kingdom of light. He writes these words, verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. See what it's saying? That in us exists the power of God. As limited as we are, as incapable as we are to love beyond our capacity, in us resides a limitless power that will always rise up to meet the mission to which God has called us. See, when I showed up to those kids, I knew that my capacity to love had changed dramatically. I was not sharing this. This did that. And now I was like, whoa, not only do I have enough for all eight, but it seems like I have more than I need for eight. See, I think so often we live in a world where we have been told for so long by this planet and its philosophies that we are limited and we need to be careful and we shouldn't do anything beyond what is possible and realistic and normal, that any time we're about to step out, we believe that we can't. And God calls to us and says, you need to remember who is in you. Yes, we are limited by 24 hours a day, and you should handle your time carefully because it's limited. But we are not limited in our capacity to love, limited in our capacity to give. That is unlimited in us. And we should find ways to break the boundaries by which we have found ourselves bound. I was in Ethiopia, and a friend of mine via Facebook sent me a video that they liked, right? So I get the video and I click on it and it takes me to the website where it plays. And next to this video, there's another video. And the video's title that I found was Change the World. Now, whenever I see that on a video title, I've got to watch it, right? Because I'm like, we're changing the world for sure. So if there's a video that tells me how I'm doing it. So I click on it. I'm kidding. So I click on the video and this video pops up on my screen and I watch it. And as I watch it, it was almost as though God had sent that video to me saying, listen in, Renaud. And when the video was done, I remember thinking to myself, do I believe this? Do I believe this? And the second from deep within me, the resounding yes came, I remember thinking, when I get back to Mosaic, this is the first thing I'm going to ask all of them, because we must believe this. I hope this video is as impactful to you as it was to me that night in Ethiopia. Take a look. I'm absolutely convinced that together we as a church are going to change the world. Here's why. Because I believe this year we are going to learn to believe that together more than we ever have. See, to change the world as you were created to do if you know Jesus does not mean you have to fly over to a country like Ethiopia and adopt four children above the four children you already have. Though I highly recommend that, that is not what you have to do to change the world. What you have to do to change the world is wake up every morning believing that you were created by Christ to be a world changer, that you were given and have been given all that you need to accomplish the task through the Spirit of God, and that you can walk into your day loving your husband or wife as Christ loves the church and serves us, and caring for them despite the fact that they don't care about you. It's loving your kids even when they're selfish and they're stealing your soul and giving to them more. It's honoring your parents, children, even when they're crazy and out of their minds. It's walking into your workplace and making sure that you love that one person who's been trying to sabotage your job to get a promotion, to feed them when they're hungry and give them water when they're thirsty and show them the love of Christ despite the fact that they hate you. It is walking into your social circles and caring for the friends that keep stabbing you in the back because Jesus loves them. It is living a life every single day believing that your life on this planet is about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, and that you are called to be a husband for Jesus' sake, a wife for Jesus' sake, a mother or father, a child, a coworker, a friend for the sake of Christ, not for your own sake or even for the sake of those other people. It is believing that we have the God of the universe residing in us, empowering us, rising up in us every day. Is it easy? Ha! If it were easy, we wouldn't be having this discussion. It's never easy, but it is possible because you know Jesus, because the Spirit of God is in you. And every day when we wake up and we live our lives for his sake, in our circle of influence, we are changing the world. We are. So together, we are going to learn more and more to believe that we were created to change the world. And we together will stand and we will face the world as every morning it whispers to us about our limitations and tells us about our incapacities and tells us about our hurts and our pains and our horrors that we hold onto and our unforgivenesses and our bitternesses and reminds us of the place we live in. We will stand and we will face that with opposition and say, "You are right about all of it, but there's one thing you miss. I am redeemed, and the Spirit of God lives in me, and he who is in me is greater than every mess you can throw at me. So today I will live for him." That's where we need to be. And then it doesn't matter whether we get everything we hope for, whether every dream we've had comes true, because every day, whatever circumstances we face, we live for him. What I learned on this journey, what I'm learning on this journey, is that when I stand on the edge of the boat in the middle of the storm and the waves are wild and Jesus says, "Step out, come to me." And I go, "Are you crazy? It's impossible. People sink in water." And he goes, "I know." And then just like Peter, I hope the words come off my lips. "I'll tell you what, Jesus, I know this is impossible, but if you ask me to come again, I'm coming." And what did Jesus say to Peter? "Come." And he stepped out of the boat. And I hope that you and I pray that you and I will continue to step past the possible into the impossible, to push our love capacity and our giving capacity and our energy capacity past what we think we should, what we think we can, to watch God meet us there. Jesus puts it this way: "If you lose your life for my sake, you will find it." That's it. Brooke and I are stepping into the impossible with us. I got to tell you, it sounds romantic. It's scary as all get out. But we are finding life that we never knew existed. And we are finding love we never knew we had. And we are finding grace we never knew was there. And I highly recommend you do the same. Follow Jesus into the impossible and see what he does with us as we shape the world. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you have rescued us from the dominion of darkness and called us into the kingdom of light, giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. That you have adopted us as children, empowered us as saints, and sent us as missionaries into our circle of influence to live our lives for your sake and the expansion of your kingdom. God, it is an honor and a privilege. Now I ask you, Spirit of God, rise up in us. Remind us to dream again, to believe again that you have created us for an earth-shattering life, for an extraordinary life, to live in our circles of influence for your sake, to share and to demonstrate and to speak your love to people, to act when you call. God, may you call us into great things, and then as we step into the impossible, may you empower us to live there. Show us, God, that our capacity, though extremely limited, is unlimited because you are in us and you are now our capacity. Help us to be wise with our time, but help us to abandon all boundaries as we give our love away and we spend ourselves for your sake. We trust you. Call us to be world changers. Send us and empower us to do the task. We love you, Jesus.